You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English. How is Tottenham's season going so far, and how did they do against West Ham? What's Tottenham's identity under Ange Postecoglou like? What was the one occasion when Spurs fans clashed with Ange? And what does the phrase "we need more legs in the midfield" mean? Welcome back to the Footglish podcast, everyone. My name is Denek Lucas. I'm your host. And the Footglish podcast is a podcast which is all about football, the Premier League, Czech football, and of course, learning English. And as always, there is a great guest. And today it's none other than my friend David, aka Jenks. Welcome back. How are you doing,
man? Thank you. I'm good, mate. Thank you for having me.
You're always welcome. And this is actually not your first time here. It's your second appearance on this podcast. Remember the first one?
Second or third, no?
I think it's the second one.
Second.
I think so, yeah.
You did one about gardening.
Ah, no, that was a different podcast, the one about gardening.
Right, which is one about the World Cup or the Euros, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. We talked about England, I think, or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So, but today I'm going to talk to you about one team which I'm not so fond of. I'll have to, you know, it's a disclaimer. As an Arsenal fan, Tottenham is not exactly, you know, something I would like to talk about much. But to be honest, you're my friend, so, you know, it's fine. It's fine.
Well, you can't be perfect, Zenek.
Yeah, it can't be perfect. You're right. And I also remember I've got a bit of a trauma. The last time I talked to you about Tottenham, because we actually went to a pub, remember?
You did, but you won that game. Arsenal won that game, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, we did. But it was traumatic because in first half, it was 3-0.
Yeah.
And then we changed the pub. Suddenly, you started scoring goals and you got very, very cocky there in the pub.
Very close, like, right? Yeah.
I was like this small, you know. I thought like we might draw it in the end or something.
It almost did.
It almost happened.
Yeah.
But this is a new season, of course. And so how do you see it so far?
I think pretty optimistic, to be honest. I think it's still Ange's, still early. It's his second season. Not many managers at Tottenham last that long, even. But the thing with Ange is that I say to like United fans and other fans is you can see what he's trying to do. You can see like what tactics he's trying to employ, whether you agree with them or whether you don't. It's very like gung-ho, but you can just see the patterns of play and even the warm-ups. It's very open what he's trying to do, and it's fun. And I'm not one of these fans I feel like we need to win every week. It's like Arteta didn't challenge for the title until like what, his fourth or fifth season. So
something like that.
I think give Ange time. Most of the players are young. Like I expect if we do challenge it to be in 2-3 years time now, rather than now. So like I think it's good. It's fun at the moment, and
I can imagine.
See where it goes.
Okay, fair enough. I can imagine it must be fun to be a Spurs fan right now because it's interesting. You are right. Ange Postecoglou, he has got a clear identity. He wants to play attacking football, offensive football. He's you know, a lot of managers play the opponent, right? But you instead execute your own sort of plan. Mm. You have your own identity, your own way of playing.
Yeah.
And this is something you have to respect, even as an Arsenal fan. I respect that.
Yeah.
I think Arteta isn't like that, right? So we have our
own. No, he's not. We have
an identity, but when we play Man City, we park the bus, right?
Yeah.
It's more pragmatic, but yours is like gung-ho, as you said. And they asked Ange Postecoglou in a press conference about this, and he said something along the lines of, he always says mate, right? How do you think, mate? How do you think, mate, that I got this far, right? Someone from Australia, he had to create a name for himself in this kind of way, right? And he's true to himself, right? He's true to his ideas.
He is, yeah.
And that's what makes him a great manager. And I think it's also sort of like a great marketing. How to say this?
He's a very good speaker, isn't he?
Persona. He's got a great persona in the media as well, right?
Yeah. Interestingly, he's not the most like personable guy in terms of like small talk or one-on-ones, but he's very good at press conferences, and they're quite interesting to watch. And he's got good sound bites, and I think people can just relate to him because I think he's just himself. He's just like a grumpy old man who's enjoying being a manager of a football club in the Premier League, and people like that. Yeah.
He's very authentic, you know.
He
says it as it is. He doesn't hold back. And you have a lot of people who are sort of hypocritical or they are trying to pretend to be someone they are not, you know. What's the word I'm looking for? Oh my god! When you are pretending to be someone else, imposter. Right? So he's not that. He's not like that.
He's very even. And even the only time that's worked against him, I would say, was before the Man City match last year, with two games to go, where I would say 95% of Spurs fans wanted to lose to Man City. Mm. People say it was 50-50, because if we drew, then Arsenal would have the chance of the title. It wasn't 50-50. All of us wanted us to lose. I don't know one Spurs fan that wanted us to win that game or get points of City,
it didn't matter to you.
It didn't matter to us.
It didn't matter to you, how this game ended. So, in my opinion, but he didn't like it. Postecoglou didn't like it.
He hated it because
he didn't understand this sort of mentality or this sort of approach. Yeah. And I kind of agree with him as well. But
I can see where he's coming from. But that's the only time where I thought, maybe just like back off a little bit. But to be fair to him, we didn't, and both sides have got over it, and it's fine. Yeah.
I totally understand where you are coming from, because I think it would be the same for an Arsenal
fan. Of course it would be the same.
It would be completely the same. But him coming from Australia, right? He didn't get the rivalry, I think.
perhaps that, but I mean, rivalries are everywhere, but I mean, and there was a small chance we could have got Champions League still, but he'd been downplaying the importance of that for the last 10 weeks before that. Like, it's not that important. I only want it if we deserve it, kind of thing. And but anyway, I'm getting off topic. In general, we're big fans of Ange.
But this is an interesting topic. Yeah. I think it has two sides of coin, basically. He is right as well, right? Because you shouldn't have a losing mentality. You shouldn't want to play a game where you want to lose. It just makes no sense. It makes no sense. You don't play football to lose. Yeah. But at the same time, the rivalry is so strong that it would be so embarrassing for the fans. It would be just such an embarrassing story that it was Tottenham who actually helped Arsenal to win the title. It's just something you wouldn't be able to get over, you know? And you wouldn't forgive
him. Especially in this day and age with all, like, the meme culture. And I mean, I'm not on Twitter or Instagram or any of that, but, like, I can imagine the memes that would have followed.
Yeah. This is what sometimes the world is about. It's not black and white. Like, it has a lot of sort of...
It has nuance. It's gray areas,
Gray areas, middle grounds. So it's important to understand both sides. But
he did retreat a bit. He did retreat a bit. Like, afterwards he said, "I don't agree with you, but like, let's agree to disagree."
I think that's fair. And Cenk, so we are here to talk about the Tottenham West Ham game, which I also watch, because, as you know, I have a soft spot for West Ham. It's kind of my second team, Tofala doesn't play anymore, unfortunately. His contract is running out. I think he's going to be out soon. But the point is, because of those two players, I have so I you know I'm a sympathizer of this club. But you won 4-1, so pretty convincing victory for you, even though you were 1-0 down in the first half through Mohamed Kudus. So what did you think at that point when you conceded that goal? Were you confident that you would turn it around?
I was, because that was still very early on, and I think there was a lot of football to be played, and West Ham aren't, even though in the first half they did low blocking counter, they're not a defensive team like they were under David Moyes. So even if they want to sit back, I don't think they're able to do it the whole game, because I'm not sure Lopetegui can coach that. Like, I think people get a little bit confused about, like, oh, why doesn't Mourinho, like, be really attacking? It's because he can't. In my opinion, I don't think he knows how to coach that style of football. I don't think David Moyes knows how to coach that style of football. Otherwise, they would have, surely. And I think Lopetegui knows how to coach possession football. And that's what Pep knows how to coach. And so I think, while they did low block first half and did well for most of it, I always thought we'd come back in and score a few goals.
That's right. Yeah, they didn't look that comfortable later on. And there was a spell in the second. Well, first of all, you equalized. Yeah, I think it was it Kulusevski's goal.
Hit the post. Very good at the moment. Yeah,
the ball hit the post and then off the other post as well. So it was one of those.
Yeah, off the woodwork.
Billiard. What would you say? Billiard goals.
Ricochet. Yeah.
Ricochet twice. Yeah. Yeah, so that was a cool goal. And then in the second half, there was a spell where you scored three goals within the span of 8 minutes, right?
Yeah, he made an interesting change at halftime. He actually... So what I think Postecoglou is the most attacking coach in the league, and like, it's because I think he gives the other team a chance. I think you always have a chance to counter, which I like. I think it makes for a better football match. Whereas I would actually go as far as to say I think Pep Guardiola is probably one of the most boring managers in the league, purely because he wants his team to keep the ball, stifle the opposition, and if they do count, he goes for tactical fouls. Like, I don't know if you watched the I watched the last 10 minutes of the game against Wolves on Sunday.
I watched about half an hour,
And the amount of times the ball gets to Jack Grealish, he does one or two stepovers and he just passes it back and goes out to the other side. Bernardo Silva does one or two stepovers, it gets passed back. It's like, it's a bit English, but like, at some point you want to like have some action when you put the ball in or something. But he's doing it as a defensive thing, so they don't give it away and they don't lose the ball on transition.
I would say it's kind of like a pragmatic safety first approach.
It is. It's not attractive at all.
It's like, dominating football as well at the same time. They keep position at all times, right? They have like,
but it's a defensive thing.
It is kind of both, right? It's like attacking and defense.
In the second half, anyway, Postecoglou bought off Maddison at half time and bought on Saar, and he said he needed more legs in midfield, basically because Kudos, Pakatar, and Bowen were.
Hang on, more legs in midfield. How many legs does Saar have?
Well, it's an eternal phrase.
Is he an alien or an octopus?
It's an English podcast. That's one for your listeners. More legs means the ability to move around faster with more stamina. Yeah. So Maddison is a technical player for your listeners, and Saar's more of an athletic player. Mm-hmm. And it was because Kudos and Pakatar were getting the ball on the break. So even though it seemed like a defensive change, it actually stopped them breaking, and it meant we could press much higher. And then all those goals came in, like, however many minutes you said.
And from that moment on, West Ham had no leg to stand on.
Oh, yes. Well, and especially Kudos, who decided to take out about three players at the end of the game.
Kudos was on his last legs.
What happened with Kudos? That was crazy. Did you see that?
Yeah. He went berserk.
I haven't seen that for a long time. He could have a long ban, I think, yeah. He kicked round the men twice, kind of slaps him, then for some reason hit Saar as well, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It was a definite red for me. And he's frustrated. There were some stories about him, basically the managers, there was a, like two games ago, the manager was subbed him off, and he's like considered one of the superstars of the team.
Yeah.
And he was brought off in halftime because apparently the story was that he doesn't pass the ball. Yeah, he's too selfish.
Yeah, he's a dribbler, isn't he?
He is, but a bit too much. Yeah. And the manager saw that. The players probably complained about him, Bowen, and Bowen is the captain. So there was some sort of bust up in the dressing room with him. Yeah. And the funniest thing is, like, how did it even come out? Somebody must have leaked this information. It doesn't help anyone when this happens, right?
Yeah.
So there is a bit of that. And now he scored the first goal. I think he thinks that basically his teammates are not at his level sometimes.
That's not right.
It's not.
I disagree with him. I think Paquetá and Bowen could get in most teams in the Premier League.
Paquetá, not anymore. He's just completely...
Really?
He's completely out of form because...
Is that because of the betting thing?
The betting thing, and it's getting more serious now because there are more sort of accusations.
Well, a year or two ago, I think he could have got... Well, City wanted him, didn't they?
This season, he hasn't shown anything.
He should be dropped.
All West Ham fans want him dropped.
Really?
But the manager keeps playing him. And now, because Kudus did this, he will be like out for three games. So maybe Paquetá still has to play. But he's completely out of it at the moment.
Yeah. And the new striker is injured, isn't he?
He's injured, yeah. He's got an Achilles heel problem, and that's also a bit enigmatic. It's kind of mysterious.
So it's still Antonio.
Yeah.
And to be fair to Antonio, he doesn't get much luck with Van de Ven there running into the channels.
Yeah. Van de Ven was playing really well, I have to say.
He's a bit of a cheat code, yeah.
He's a cheat code, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. On the back.
A little bit of a cheat as well, like when Kudus punch him in the face. I mean, he started screaming.
Do you know why I did that? It's because Kudus has kicked him twice on the floor.
I know.
I don't like players going down, but Kudus has had like two kicks, hoping the ref hasn't seen him in his ribs. Yeah. So I think he's just like...
I completely agree with the ref.
I think he wants him off at that point.
I'm just saying, like, I don't like when players have to be like this theatrical. True. That's all. Like, I don't.
And like the opposite was Saar, who had a much bigger hit, didn't he? And he just kind of like walked off as if nothing had happened.
That was funny.
Richarlison had nothing and goes down the worst.
Oh yeah, Richarlison.
Yeah, that was funny.
And I want to ask you about Solanke as well. So he is in my fantasy team, Jenks, but unfortunately, he hasn't really been firing on all cylinders yet. So
he's got a few goals, hasn't he? He's got a few. Solanke is the perfect striker for Ange's system.
Yeah.
And I think it was such a clever buy, because it's a buy you probably wouldn't normally make at Spurs. Because he's probably about, for his ability, he's probably about 10, 15, 20 million too expensive for what he is. But Ange's mantra is all about pressing the ball high up. And Solanke, I think, is the best I've seen at it personally. And I just think it makes a huge difference. Because you can attack in possession, but you can also attack out of possession with your high press. And he's so, so good at that. And I don't think it'll be like Harry Kane levels in terms of goals. But I think I'd be surprised if he doesn't get over. I think he'll be between 15 and 20 in the Prem this season.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that they backed Ange, because when Pochettino first came in, we had Lloris as goalkeeper, and Lloris was a world-class goalkeeper at that point. But Lloris has never been able to play the ball out with his feet.
Yeah.
And I was calling for them to make a really kind of like hard decision then to say, let Lloris leave. He'll go to like Paris, Saint-Germain or Real Madrid or whatever. But you have to get a person who can play the ball with his feet, because that's what Pochettino wanted to do.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And we never quite fixed that. And look how close we got to the league twice and then the Champions League as well. And I actually think if we had a keeper, although Lloris was world-class, who could play with his feet like an Alisson or an Edison, we would have got over the line. And I think backing Ange with Solanke, who can press like Ange needs, I think it is. Even when you look at Johnson now, Johnson's not really like a, he's not a dazzling player. He's not like a sexy player, but
he's doing well right now.
He does what Ange wants. He gets into the back post for those Ange cutbacks. So I think you do have to have a little bit of trust. Yeah,
he is a threat, Johnson. He's playing really well.
Oh, a huge threat, but he's not. He's not a. You wouldn't call him like a world class player. He's not a good dribbler. He's just great at off the ball running. He's a neat finisher and he's quick, and that's what Ange wants from that wide player.
And his style suits him. You know, it's kind of a little bit similar to what Klopp did at Liverpool in a way, right?
Yeah.
This sort of heavy metal football.
Yeah, but it is a bit similar.
I have to say one thing, like, even though I'm not Spurs' biggest fan, like, watching the Spurs game is fun. One way or another, you know. There's usually a lot of goals in it. And that's why we watch football. So I'll definitely give your team that. That's for sure.
Yeah. So I just hope Levy stays with him, because the thing is, if we have a couple of bad results, I think we're only two points above West Ham before that game. Like, we do drop a lot of points.
I will show you the table, So basically you're in the, where are you? In the seventh. Yeah, you're seventh, right?
I'm sure. What's the points?
You're on 13 points right now.
From how many games?
From 8 games. So you are.
It's not bad.
So Liverpool have 21, though. Like, it's a lot. Yeah. It's 8 points. You're 8 points behind Liverpool. Yeah. And 4 points behind Arsenal. So you can still, like, you're kind of in the mix. You're definitely in the mix for the top 4 finish, that's for sure. But the title race, I mean, I'm not sure. It's a bit far.
No, not this season. I don't think this season, but I think that is quite open this season.
Yeah.
I don't think there'll be as many points needed to win the title as previous seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I see weaknesses in both Arsenal and City.
Yeah, for sure.
This season.
It might be Liverpool, actually, this season. That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
The team that let one of the best managers of the entire Premier League history go, Jurgen Klopp, and who became now the head of Red Bull or something.
Oh yeah, that hasn't gone down well, has it?
No, not in Germany.
I've heard Germans are more angry with him for becoming that than they are with Tuchel for becoming England manager.
He apparently he has way more respect in England than he does in Germany.
Yeah, now, but I mean, back, yeah, but because everyone hates Red Bull and Champion, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They do. That's why I'm saying, like, in England, he's more popular, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he did that. I'm not sure what, he doesn't need that, does he? But yeah.
I think, apparently, from what I heard, is that he had promised something in the past.
Oh.
And he's like this kind of guy that wants to keep his promises, I guess, which is rare in football. So I guess that's why he did it. I think he really needed a break. He burnt out at Liverpool. It happens.
But he knows how unpopular Red Bull were. And before he was with like good clubs like Dortmund or a good traditional club, and he hadn't had any link to them before. So
well, there's another theory. Basically, now that he's in charge of Red Bull, he gets Red Bulls for free. So he can have as many Red Bulls as he wants, you know, every day. So he will have a lot of energy, and he'll even grow wings and stuff like that. So anyway, Jenks. So you did pretty well in this game, and it's looking good for you, I guess. So
yeah, I wish the Arsenal match was around now rather than a month or two ago. I think that match was at the wrong point for us. We hadn't quite clicked into gear or got our season running yet.
It was exactly at the right point.
I think it was next week. I'd fancy Tottenham. I think it was next week.
No. I'm glad that we still had Saka at that point. I think Odegaard was still playing. Maybe Odegaard wasn't. I'm not sure.
No, Odegaard. I don't think Odegaard did play, did he?
I can't remember. But right now, at Arsenal, there are real issues because important players are injured now.
It's like the first time, isn't it? The first time in this last 2 years that you've had injuries.
Saka hasn't really been injured much. He always had like knocks and niggles, and if he was out of the team, it was just for one week or something.
Yeah, same with Odegaard.
And now Saliba's red card means that he's suspended, so that's not good, right? Suspended.
For the Liverpool game as well, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe it's Tottenham who can take advantage of this. I hope not, of course, for the sake of our Arsenal supporters, but it is what it is. It's football, right?
And it's probably a year or two too early, but yeah.
That's why we love it. It's always fun. Jenks, I think that's where we'll leave it there. Unless you want to talk about fantasy football, which I don't know. Do you play fantasy football?
You know, I've told you this before. I don't play fantasy football. You know the reason why?
Tell me.
It's because to play fantasy football and win, you need to have your rival players in the teams. So I'd have to have players like Haaland, Saka, Salah, Man United players. And I'm just not doing that. I'm not watching a match and wanting Saka to score or wanting a Chelsea player to score, no way. So that's the reason I've never been able to play fantasy football, because you have to have the best players. And
I have Solanke in my team.
Rivals. Yeah, I couldn't do that.
And he's not playing really well. I should instead get Son. I should get Son.
Son now. But I think, to be honest, our best player this year has been Kulusevski. Moving inside from the wing to the middle, he's been a revelation. Like, I'm unbelievable in the middle.
Thank you for this inside information. I'm going to use it to my advantage now.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jenks, I've got to go. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Yeah. And take care.
Take care. Bye.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Language Corner. As always, in this part of the show, I'm going to be teaching something. Because, yes, this podcast is about football, but it is also an educational podcast. That's right. I run this podcast in order to help English learners around the world. And today I would like to talk about a few idiomatic phrases, a few idioms. Yeah, so these are phrases which are sometimes difficult to understand. If it's the first time you've heard them, because the words, the individual words, which are part of these idioms, they often seem to have an unrelated meaning. Yeah, so they have a meaning, but as a whole. What Jenks said is that in the second half, Postecoglou brought off Maddison. So he substituted Maddison at halftime and brought on Sarr, right? So he brought on Sarr, and then Jenks added, he said he needed more legs in midfield. I guess that's how Ange was explaining it in the press conference. He needed more legs in midfield. I made fun of this phrase because it sounds funny. More legs in midfield? What do you mean? If you bring off one player and then bring on another player, mathematically, it's the same number of legs, right? Because every player only has two legs. But there is a phrase in English. If you need more legs, in this case in midfield, it means you need somebody. You need a player that runs a lot, you know, that can do a lot of running. Someone with a lot of stamina, okay? So this is what it means. If you need more legs, you need somebody who is more athletic. Maddison is more technical, right? So Sarr is more of a runner, let's say. Okay, so to more legs in the midfield. Interesting idiom for sure. And because, you know, sometimes I like to make fun using a lot of idioms. I'm not sure if it landed very well, these jokes, but I tried to carry on and throw in more idioms I tried to throw in more idioms with the word leg in them. Yeah. All these goals came in so quickly, right? Something we were saying something like that. And then I added, yes. And from that moment on, West Ham had no leg to stand on, right? So it was 4-1 quickly at the beginning of second half. And then all those goals were scored, as Jenks said. And I responded to that by saying, yes. And from that moment, West Ham had no leg to stand on. So this is a phrase that is often used when you talk about two people arguing, right? Or two groups of people arguing. And when one group of people or one person runs out of arguments, runs out of things to say, right? The arguments stop making sense. It's all just emotions and he can't argue like that. Then you have a no leg to stand on, right? So it's used in this sense. But I also use this in this context, and I think it also kind of works, right? If you have no leg to stand on in this game of football, basically, if you're West Ham, you are 4-1 down, it basically means you kind of run out of ideas, right? You run out of ideas of what to do on the pitch. Yeah, you could say Lopetegu, the manager, I never know how to pronounce his name. Lopetegu? Something like that. The Spanish manager of West Ham United, he had no leg to stand on, right? He ran out of ideas, he didn't know what to do with it, and he couldn't turn it around at all because West Ham were just clueless, okay? So another good idiom, to have no leg to stand on, okay? And there was one more. Jenk said, especially kudos who decided to take out three men. So he tried to kick a few people and then he punched someone or slapped someone in the face. Then he was sent off. He was shown a red card by the referee, right? And to that I responded, yeah, kudos was on his last legs. So if you are on your last legs, which as you can see is another idiom which contains the word leg in it. If you are on your last legs, you are near the end of your life. You usually use it to describe someone who is kind of dying, right? Maybe sick, someone really sick or old, and they are on their last legs. You can see this person is about to kick the bucket, as we say. But it can also mean that you are near the end of your usefulness or existence, right? So it kind of, again, made sense as a joke in this context when I said Kudus was on his last legs because, well, he was sent off. So he was at near the end of his usefulness. He was actually at the end of his usefulness. Right, so remember, if you need more legs in the midfield, you need a player or more players that can run, that have a lot of stamina. If you have no leg to stand on, you have kind of run out of arguments or ideas. And if you are on your last legs, it means you're near the end of your life or usefulness or existence. Okay, listeners, I hope this is useful for you. If you did enjoy this episode, please don't forget to support the Footgrish podcast. It's absolutely crucial for the existence of this podcast. It's still very early days and I need more people who listen to this podcast, which I hope you enjoy. So if you want to help, press that like button, comment on the YouTube channel and subscribe wherever you can and tell your mates about the podcast. Okay, I'm done with this promotion. It has to be part of the show. Every podcast does it. Yeah, if you want to have a podcast, you need to do this. I'm sorry if it's annoying. To be honest, sometimes it's annoying for me too. It's the least enjoyable part of having a podcast, but perhaps it's the most necessary one. Anyway, I have been Zdenek. Thank you very much for watching or listening, and I'll speak to you soon. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.